Hey crew, hike it into Hooters for all the games this season, where our wings always win. World famous since 1983, with over 14 sauces and rubs to choose. Or try one of our football specials, like 10 buffalo shrimp or 3 tenders, both served with fries for a special price. Wash it down with a Big Daddy mug of Budweiser, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra. During the games, every Tampa Bay area location will be giving away signed Bucks footballs. Hooters, official partner of the Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for more details.
Thank you so much, Rico Dowdle. Recording this at 12 noon Eastern Time on Monday, October 6th, prior to the Monday night game between the Chiefs and Jaguars that will wrap Week 5. We also had our first four teams on bye weeks in the NFL this past Thursday, Sunday, Monday. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My email for all your fantasy questions is right.todd@yahoo.com. Hooters is our presenting sponsor. Visit originalhooters.com for location information in the greater Tampa Bay area, as well as easy online ordering. I'd also like to thank Brandon Legal Group for everything they do for me in terms of sponsorship of the Todd Wright Toddcast, which is approaching 400 episodes all time for non-fantasy content. Many of you who listen to this podcast also listen to the non-fantasy podcast, the Todd Wright Toddcast. That is much appreciated, both running parallel lines with football, but one is more fantasy intensive than the other for obvious reasons. Brandon Legal Group is a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. When you are in need of legal assistance, you can get a free consult from them by clicking the box to do so at brandonlegalgroup.com. If you prefer to call them, that's no problem. 813-902-3576. Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Going into the Monday night game, an independent of four teams not playing in Week 5, as we do a majority review, independent of whatever Chiefs and Jaguars do in Week 5. The most interesting thing I learned over the weekend, and it comes via one of the most interesting guys in the football slash fantasy universe in Mike Clay, albeit in sort of a stupid segment on the Fantasy Football Now show on ESPN2 this weekend. Going into the Week 5 Monday night game, the Jaguars have had only 6% of their offensive snaps while they trailed on the scoreboard. So that feeds a lot of the ETN production and really no solid opinion positively on anybody else. Are we starting to wonder, though, if there is a deteriorating relationship already between a very sensitive guy in Liam Cohen and Brian Thomas Jr., who didn't give his all on one particular play in Week 1, and Cohen was pretty transparent, as he often is with his facial expressions, when asked about it after Week 1. I believe the term used by Thomas was business decisions. The only thing I can offer as an analogy was it a business decision for Cam Newton not to try to give his body up to fall on his own fumble in Super Bowl 50 and fight Von Miller and Broncos for it? That seems to be a comparison. While Newton was a vested veteran and league MVP at the time, and Thomas was barely minutes into year two off a successful year one campaign. Something to watch. Going into the Monday night game, 18 pass catchers put up 88 yards or more in Week 5. Those who rushed for 88 yards or more in Week 5 prior to Jaguars Chiefs, 5. Again, I ask those of you playing in outdated PPR leagues Why exactly do your pass catchers need the extra point when they catch a ball? Week 5, pre-Chiefs Jags, 18 pass catchers with 88 yards or more. 5 players rushed for 88 yards or more. It's running backs, if anyone, who need the extra point or half point or some fraction, not the pass catchers. So based on just yardage, this gives us talking points. Let's review in inverse order those who did put up the 88 pass receiving yards or more, regardless of position, week 5 pre-Monday night. Davante Adams, despite Puka Nacua being the best player in fantasy football through, and maybe he's not number one in scoring in your league for whatever reason. I don't know your exact scoring settings, but Nacua has been phenomenal and has delivered the most on his draft capital of any player selected in the first or second round. Meanwhile, Davante Adams, 88 yards receiving, longest gain was 26 on 5 catches in the Rams game that they ultimately dropped at home to the beat up 49ers back on Thursday night. Laporta, in a get right for tight end game. Why am I talking so much about tight ends on my podcast this year? Well, I hate to admit this. In my non-mandatory tight end league, in my wide receiver slash tight end flex spot, the only place you can play a tight end, in the 12-team league and in the 10-team league, I played tight ends there this week, feeling they were the best option for me. I had Evans injured in both leagues. I had London on bye in one league, and I went with tight ends. I went with Tyler Warren in one league, good move. I went with Jake Ferguson in another league, better move. Picked up both on waivers early in the week. Again, we're non-mandatory tight end leagues, so tight ends are more readily available in my leagues. But as we have discussed through 4 weeks, where you need to think about running, rushing production against the Bears, passing or quarterback production against the Cowboys, tight end production against the Bengals. And this was Sam Laporta's best game. And I credit those who predicted that. I would have loved to have plugged and played Sam Laporta. I have no complaints about Jake Ferguson or Tyler Warren, but Laporta, 92 yards on 5 catches, including a longest gain of 39 and a touchdown for the Lions against the Bengals. Next up for the Bengals, Tucker Kraft. So that is a guy, if you can, you might want to consider in week 6. Debo as the number one guy for a now healthy Jaden Daniels in week 5 with no Terry McLaurin. Debo, 96 yards on 8 carries for a touchdown as Washington beat the Chargers. Marvin Harrison Jr. got off to a fast start for the Cardinals and then next to nothing as the Cardinals disintegrated against the worst team. Hard to say this, considering how bad the Jets are, but the Titans are the worst team in the NFL and came back from a big deficit at Arizona to win. And it feels like someone may fall on the sword for that. And that someone may be the offensive coordinator. The Cardinals have now lost 3 games in a row after a 2-0 start that I wasn't buying into. They've lost 3 games by a total of 5 points. The more close games you lose, the more close games you're going to lose. And clearly they have a coaching staff that is dysfunctional. The team is dysfunctional. They are not dynamic offensively and clearly aren't holding players accountable for stupid plays. Harrison, 98 on four catches, had a long of 43. I believe that had him down inside the five, but much of that came early. And the Cardinals, with multiple opportunities to salt the game away beyond just the latest, when are we going to remove a player's scholarship in college or simply cut a pro player for the individual stupid play of not carrying the ball over the goal line? It's going to take someone losing their scholarship or losing their job for the message to get out that this is not acceptable. All right, so we've done Harrison's numbers there. I mean, Calvin Ridley's breaking off big chunk plays. Someone I know and respect was trying to defend that it was just a bizarre set of circumstances why the Cardinals lose. No, it's not just a bizarre set of circumstances. The Cardinals should be embarrassed and hold them accountable for losing that game, losing another close game, a bad coaching staff, a bad vibe overall with that team. Cortland Sutton, 8 for 99, no TDs, as Denver pulls off the win in Philadelphia. ARSB getting it done for Detroit, as you expect, 8 for 100, no touchdowns. Don't sweat that. He's not going to score every game. Take the 100 that gets you double-digit points and move on with your life. Dalton Kincaid is finally doing some of the things consistently that many expected when the Bills drafted him. And in a bad game for the Bills, Kincaid was good. 6 for 108, no touchdowns, longest gain of 23. He is producing as a slot receiver. There are others who occasionally play the slot for Buffalo. But this looks more the guy than anybody else right now. Maybe it's because he's healthy. Maybe it's just comparison to what he can do as opposed to all those other wide receivers. But Kincaid is very worthy of playing every week in a flex spot, in a mandatory tight end spot, or otherwise. Jaylen Waddle, with Tyreek Hill out, was the only wide receiver benefited, and he benefited a week ago after the Hill injury. 6 for 110 and a touch, 46-yard longest gain for Waddle. Jamar Chase, in a bad result for the Bengals, gets to pad his stats, 6 for 110 and two scores. Rashid Shaheed, who we know is capable of big plays, one of them was covered 87 yards as New Orleans got their first win, 4 for 114 and one touchdown. I remind those of you who listen to the Todd Wright Toddcast of a podcast I did in April saying the 2025 Saints could be the 1977 Bucks. The 1977 Bucks only won a couple of games. And the games they won got the opposing head coaches fired. The Saints just got their first win. Does anyone doubt Brian Daboll will not be the Giants head coach next year? Direct result. Ryan Flournoy, I hope I'm saying that name correctly, for the Cowboys. I'd never heard of him before Sunday. It was not Tolbert. It was not some other wideout other than Pickens. It was Flournoy, who actually had a bigger game than Pickens. 6 for 114, 46-yard longest gain. Devonta, I don't think that's sustainable, and check status, CeeDee Lamb may be back week 6. Devonta Smith, in a losing effort, 8 for 114, no touchdowns, but had a 52-yard gain. Justin Jefferson, in a game Minnesota pulled out at the end, 7 for 123, no scores, longest gain of 38. Calvin Ridley with some big chunk plays for the first time all year as Arizona collapsed. 5 for 131, no touchdowns. I don't think you're running back to put Ridley in your starting lineup after this performance, but perhaps this prevents you from cutting him outright. JSN, what you expect, 8 for 132 and a touchdown and a 53-yard longest game for Seattle. Kendrick Bourne will be very popular on waivers this week, especially if Mac Jones is going to go again and say Jennings or Pearsall will not. Bourne 10 for 142, including a 35-yard longest gain in the Niners victory on Thursday night. Stephon Diggs against the Bills. You could see that one coming. Why couldn't the Bills defend it? 10 for 146 for Diggs, no touchdowns. That Sunday night game told me more about how the Bills still have issues. You're Sean McDermott. That's why you have a job, because you know defense. And the Patriots, a one-dimensional Patriots team that doesn't really run the ball well at all in the game. And it's just Drake May and Diggs, and you let that happen? 10 for 146, no touchdowns as the Bills lose to the Pats. And Emeka Ebuka, 7 for 163 and one TD. People, stop looking for someone else to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. It's right in front of your face. Anywhere's number two for Tampa Bay. The five players who put up a rushing game of 87 yards or more. Walker was almost there at 86 on 10 carries, although Charbonnet is getting the goal line touches. Here are the five running backs of real significance beyond scoring touchdowns. Of course, Jonathan Taylor had three touchdowns rushing with a 66-yard performance as the Colts dusted Las Vegas. Looking down the rushing board, Rashad White had two rushing touchdowns, showed more ability in tight than Bucky Irving did the first 4 weeks with his two rushing touchdowns for the Bucks. Bucky Irving, if you didn't hear me say it on an earlier podcast, 7 carries, no yards, no touchdowns inside the 20-yard line in the 2025 season. Top five, Quinshon Judkins just continues to be a very quiet, reliable running back play for you. It's not spectacular, but it certainly looks consistent. 23 carries, 110, no touchdowns, had a 32-yard gain. Amazing for a guy who had no training camp, no preseason games, held out. Doesn't matter who plays quarterback, anything else going on. For the first time since week one, we have a Bill signing. I'm just a Bill. Yes, I'm only a Bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Thanks for the six of you who know that reference. Ja'Cory Kurowski Merritt in the win against the Chargers, 14 for 111. As someone I read, might have been on RotoWorld, said about JCM, gets to the edges better than anybody else. This is not a guy that they're going to use between the tackles. Dare I say, is this like a Bucky Irving type? You got to use him on the edges for him to be effective. 14 for 111, two touchdowns, did have a lost fumble. Breece Hall, 14 for 113, did have a key fumble, and then the Jets just collapsed. Aaron Glenn has that one-and-done look as a head coach. He does. He says these things take time. He may not get it. Breece Hall, 14 for 113, no touchdowns, one bad fumble. I'll say this about Breece Hall. He has no deal beyond this year. There's no promise of anything beyond this year. He's been disappointing. I'm sure he's disappointed in the Jets. The trade deadline is a month away, and the Chargers look like they need somebody. I'll let you run with that. Hampton left the Charger game against Washington in a walking boot. Maybe precautionary. But didn't Bucky leave the week four game for the Bucs in a walking boot and miss week five and now has a shoulder issue too and is going to miss week six? The Chargers already lost Najee Harris. The Chargers are going to need a back. I know Kamara might be available. It feels. But is Kamara a guy who can do the things the Chargers want to do? Or is Kamara more of a complementary back to a power back? Maybe you get Hall and Kamara. I don't know if they can afford that. But I think someone with a call to the Jets could get Breece Hall away from them. Why not? Before the trade deadline. And it might be the Chargers. Javonte Williams, number two. How about the Cowboy connection on the top two running backs here? The current Cowboy running back who's had a wonderful start after being cast off by Sean Payton in Denver for not being able to get yards after contact. 16 for 135 and a touchdown, including a big 66-yarder against the Jets. And Rico Dowdle, who we discovered together on this podcast a couple weeks ago when we talked about, maybe not even a couple of weeks ago, and we reviewed who was getting rushing attempts inside the 5, inside the 10, inside the 20. And it wasn't high on the list, but it was on the list that the name Rico Dowdle popped up, even though Chuba Hubbard had been getting the bulk of the work in Carolina. And you combine that with Canales always wanting to run the ball. A criticism of Canales in Tampa Bay was his first down off tackle slant or dive. A dive is not off tackle, but sort of a phone booth type run, power type run on first down was too predictable for Canales. But that's what he wants to do on first down. And he generally likes one running back to do it. But if Dowdle was getting even just a few carries inside the 5, inside the 10, with Chuba's success, and I remember one time last year in a game against the Bucs, Chuba sat for the kid from Texas who had just gotten healthy. Chuba didn't play the possession inside the 10-yard line, and Carolina didn't get a touchdown on that possession, had to settle for a field goal. Dowdle, with the opportunity to get the bulk of the carries with Chuba out, goes off. And it's because I picked up Dowdle in both my 12-team league and my 10-team league. Nobody else wanted him. I even went back and reviewed in the 12-team league. Did anyone else put in a claim on Dowdle once he was named a starter? Nope. Just me. 23 carries, 206 yards, longest gain of 53, and one touchdown. We don't know Chuba's status yet for week six, But is Mike Canales, Dowdle's already talking about next week playing the Cowboys, where he just was. Canales can't take the ball out of Dowdle's hands. I don't care what Chuba Hubbard's health is. Are you really not going to give Dowdle a similar opportunity in week 6 against the Cowboys with that chip on his shoulder off a 206-yard game that was, what, 2 yards short of the franchise record? If Canales doesn't give Dowdle that chance in week 6 against the Cowboys, I would throw a drink just like David Tepper, even though I stopped drinking 6 months ago. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Send me your fantasy stuff. We'll wrap in anything from Jags and Chiefs in week 5 in the next edition of the Fantasy Podcast. Thanks to Hooters. Thanks to Brandon Legal Group. Thanks to you. This has been the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.